numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It is a numbers game here on a Wednesday. Matt Brown in for Gil. Welcome to a show that will include Will Hill. We'll talk a little bit of everything with him as we get a little bit later into the program. Ben Wilson will join us as well. Talk some college baseball and maybe a little golf, maybe a little croquet, whatever country club sports Ben's been playing this summer, because, you know, that's what Ben is all about. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin here as well. And the top story, certainly here in this city, is your Las Vegas, yours, mine, and everyone. Seems like the country's team. The Las Vegas Golden Knights do end up taking it down last night over at the T-Mobile Arena here in Las Vegas, Nevada, and they are your Stanley Cup champions. And the game was really not a game after the second period. It was, you know, listen, there was really no drama at all at that point. You're sitting there watching, and you're like, okay, maybe they will make this a game. It was 2-0, then it was 2-1, and you're like, all right, well, maybe we'll be in for a dogfight here. And then at that point, it was just game over. Final score of 9-3. If you were wondering, the over did hit in the hockey game there.
It's
good. With the 12 goals, yes, did get home. 9-3 Golden Knights over the Panthers. And listen, this is outside of sports, from a just a feel-good story about everything. This is a team that was born in Las Vegas. It wasn't a team that moved here from somewhere else. There are really true, genuine fans of this team here that really and truly started to like hockey for the very first time. I mean, listen, I had been to a couple of hockey games in my entire life. There was a hockey team somewhat close to me later on in my life. Certainly when I was a child, there were no hockey teams anywhere near where I was. The Golden Knights come here. They were a team that was an expansion team. So it's not like, hey, you're getting this team from another city and it's kind of a retread type deal. And with all that, they grew a fan base that I think is pretty special in modern day sports. And I think it can only happen probably in a sport like hockey, if you're talking about the major four, because you grow up, you have an NFL team that you root for, right? You grow up, you have an NBA team most likely that you root for. At least you had one that was relatively close to where you grew up, and you probably have one that you at least have a little bit of an affinity for. And certainly in Major League Baseball, most people have their baseball team. If it wasn't a team that was in your local market, then certainly it was a team. Listen, for me, there wasn't a team in my local market, but we had TBS and we had WGN, and so everyone I know is either a Cubs fan or a Braves fan because those were the two teams that were on television every single day. So you at least had that, and you have a baseball team. But with hockey, there wasn't that type of situation. If you didn't grow up in a market that had a hockey team, odds are, especially if you're kind of my age, you didn't have a hockey team, really. You didn't really even have hockey exposure, right? I mean, I didn't see hockey every year until the Stanley Cup Finals happened, because that's when it went to major television. There were no regional sports networks. There were no other ways for me to consume any sort of hockey. So it was really only Stanley Cup playoffs, and that was it for me, and really Stanley Cup Finals, and that was it for me. And so you have this team, and yes, even in a city like Vegas, where it is a lot of people from a lot of different places. That being said, Sean is born and raised here, our audio guy who's behind the screen over there. But like this, it is a lot of people from a lot of different places. And they all came together. And with this team starting and growing up here with them, they have become a really rabid fan base. There is true love and affinity for this team. Listen, it came in at an interesting time in this city as well. We don't want to go and rehash horrible memories. But there was also something that happened there with this team that really did endear them to the rest of this city. And honestly, there are some nationwide fans of the Vegas Golden Knights as well. I just anecdotally traveling, going different places, I tell people I'm from Vegas, and you know, after they ask me inevitably about, you know, how do you live there with all the partying and stuff like that, it'll eventually go to, once we get to sports, you know, they'll bring up the Golden Knights. They really will. And it is one of those things where, you know, Kelly, again, I think it is unique to hockey. I think it is unique to, and maybe we don't even see this again, right? I mean, like, to have a city that didn't have any sort of professional sports at all. It's the first professional sports team. It is made here. All of these guys out in the community doing these things, outreach and stuff. We still have some of the original team members that are on the team as well. And you could see even last night in the celebration, until way late in that celebration, the T-Mobile was still packed. Everyone stayed to watch those guys celebrate and hug and hold the cup above their head and things like that. And it was a pretty cool moment in sports. We talk about the cool moment from the RBC Canadian this past week where it just kind of snuck up on you where a Canadian wins and everyone feels great. And then in here, one of the major sports with the hockey, with the NHL last night, I think we really did see a pretty special moment.
Yeah, very cool. Like you said, this was, I think, one of the biggest shockers to me when I first moved here 5 years ago was how rabid of a fan base this was for the Golden Knights. And it is,
Well, the narrative, too, was how are you going to do hockey in the desert, yeah, right? Like, how's that going to go over? Oh, people are going to really go down to the strip to watch games, et cetera, you know, it was every detractor. By the way, Bettman threw a little bit of shade last night because he was the guy really pushing for it. And so he kind of was like, one of the best fan bases in one of the best city, you know, whatever. Basically, it was like saying, like, yeah, see, I was right.
I think the ownership's done a great job with it. Yeah, the city's really bought in. Like, it was nuts to me when I first moved here 5 years ago, and it was like don't try walking into a sports bar on where that's a Golden Knights game and asking them to change the TV to an NBA game or something like that. Like, that ain't gonna work out very well. So, I you know, we were talking a little bit before the show. It's the look, I think the Raiders are different because it's, you're talking about 8 home games, yep, right? And yes, there, I think that gives more of a tourist fan opportunity of,
absolutely,
hey, we can go in town to
circle
Vegas.
It on the calendar.
Exactly.
It's on a weekend. It's the whole 9 yards.
My father does it every year. So, I'm going to come visit you when this game's going on because I want to see that game. And, we'll see when it's the A's who come to town, right, Matt? Like, that might be a little different experience.
Might be a little bit different story for sure. Vegas Golden Knights are not your favorites to repeat. However, of course, as we know, the odds right up every single time that we get done with a major sport. And the Colorado Avalanche are your favorites to take down the 2024 Stanley Cup Championship. It is the Bruins at 8-1 as well. Maple Leafs 9-1. Oilers 10-1. Devils 12. Hurricanes also at 12. And then the Knights come in at 13. Rangers and Panthers both at 14. And then the Stars at 16. So if you want to go ahead and lock your money up for an entire calendar year, go right ahead.
Yeah.
I would say not. I typically don't go that direction, but that's where we're at right now. Avalanche and Bruins, your odds on favorite at 8-1. Maple Leafs at 9-1. Oilers 10. Devils 12. Hurricanes 12. 13 for the Golden Knights to repeat. Rangers at 14. Panthers at 14. And also the Stars at 16. Kelly, we have major news outside of that, and it's over in Major League Baseball. And you're going to say, wait a minute, Matt, there's like 100 games left in Major League Baseball. How do we have major – was there a trade? There was actually not a trade. Was there a major injury? No, not a major injury either. It's the fact that something has happened, and the Oakland A's continue to win baseball games.
This was a
deal in which there was a – people were trying to invent new betting systems to where you could say basically, hey, you fade the A's and then add it to some other parlay, and then there it is, and bam, that's what you do. Everyone just money line bet on the other team and add something in there to make it a little less juicy on you, and then you go in and bet it. Well,
to be fair, that worked for a really long time.
It did.
Working really well for a long time.
It did, in fact, work very well for a long time. But if you've been doing it for the last week or so, man, no good. The A's have now won 7 games in a row. And every single one of those, the shortest that they were was plus 148. Everything else was longer than that. Look up, and now you have a team that is sitting 19-50. And, oh, by the way, no longer the worst record in Major League Baseball. That is now the Kansas City Royals with the worst record in Major League Baseball. So the Oakland A's rally off 7 in a row. Kelly, I'm sure you heard about this whole reverse boycott where, yep, you know, they were getting like 15 people in the stands. You could basically scream across like the stadium to the guy in another section. He could hear you.
The feral cats outnumbered them.
Yeah, like
still,
you just basically took a cup and you hollowed out the bottom and you could just talk to anyone, you know, whatever. And they actually put 27,000, nearly 28,000 people in the stadium, about triple what they've been averaging on a nightly basis there for Oakland. So, you know what? Good on you guys. Good on the Oakland A's. It could have been. Look, they're professional athletes. Because we say this all the time whenever we talk about tanking, whether it be the NFL, whether it's the NBA. They're still professional athletes. They have some pride. They want to go out there. They want to win. They want to do their best. If you're the A's, the negative sentiment, it's even unlike an NFL team, even unlike an NBA team. Because here's the thing. If you are terrible on an NFL team or if you're terrible on an NBA team, there is at least a payoff, which is the number one pick in the draft, that can instantly come in next year and make a difference for your team. And that doesn't work in baseball. So it's like, if you're bad and you're like, oh, we get the number one pick, who cares? We won't see this guy in the majors for 3 years or 4 years, or if at all, if ever, right? And so, like, there's not, like, any sort of silver lining to being terrible at baseball. You know, like, at least with football, you're like, hey, we get the number one pick. We're going to get that quarterback. It's going to change our franchise. Like, woo! You know, like, you can, like, talk yourself into it being a good thing. And, well, and it's just not the case in baseball. But, you know, this team winning seven in a row, not completely folding, it, you know, good on them.
And when it comes to the players, I mean, like, let's face it, in baseball, like, not all teams are created equal when it comes to payroll. So, hey, if you play really well on a team like the Oakland A's or the Miami Marlins, it might mean you get traded to a much nicer location at some point in the near future.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's there. And Kelly's mentioned to the Farrell Kelly, the stadium. If you've never been to Oco, it is it is every bit as horrible as you've heard. It is I can't believe it's even still standing. I don't even know how this stadium. I get why the A's have been throwing a fit. I know this hasn't been the best look for them trying to get out of the city. Things could have been handled better.
Yeah.
But I can also understand why you're like, we are playing in, like, what is the equivalent of, like, a bad, like literally, like, a bad stadium from, like, what feels like the 1800s. Like gladiators could have been fighting in the middle of this thing and fighting for their lives to keep things going. It's a terrible place. And so I hope that things work out. As you mentioned, Kelly, we do have a vote that got done here in the city. So maybe we are moving forward with the A's coming on down here to Las Vegas. We shall see. Now, there's a very big golf tournament that tees off in the morning over in Los Angeles. Kelly and I are going to run through our thoughts, our picks, everything U.S. Open when we come back.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM reward points that you can redeem online, bonus credits like bonus bets, bet insurance tokens. Planning to take a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points. You can use towards dining, shows, hotel rooms, over 20 MGM resort properties up and down the strip here in Las Vegas and other properties nationwide. You can sign up at BetMGM.com or log on today and get an even better piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions do apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you, please gamble responsibly, and they offer you some resources to help you make those appropriate decisions. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You got to be 21 years of age or older if you want to wager. New and existing customer offer here. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards, non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. If you have a gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin here on A Numbers Game. Gil still out getting some R&R, rest and relaxation for our man, so he'll be back in next week. Stick around for that. But, Kelly, it is our time of year. And I said this on the Long Shots pod, by the way, available wherever you get your podcast. You can go in and take a look, maybe even the video version,
or see the whole version is up at on the YouTube page.
Head over to the YouTubes and you can see the whole video version of everything. But we did a live Long Shots yesterday here in this very studio, went through as much as we possibly could. Glad to have some extra time here to get in some of the nuance I wasn't really able to get to as to why I'm fading a couple of different guys and some of the other stuff that we're looking at. But Kelly, I mean, listen, I think first and foremost, for the people that haven't listened to Long Shots yet, we can give the quick and dirty of this, and you can really listen to the Long Shots pod to get the intricacies of what we're looking at from a tournament perspective here, why we are kind of really interested and intrigued with this tournament in particular. Listen, this is over at the LA Country Club, and you've never seen this country club unless you are, you know, a billion years old, and I don't think that anyone listening to this is. We haven't played a professional tournament here since 1940, and even then, there's been a ton of different cosmetics changes and whatnot, so this is going to be completely new for everyone. This is a par 70. It's listed 7,400 yards, plus it can play a bunch of different ways. They have a bunch of different pin placements, a bunch of different tee boxes and stuff, so that's just kind of a placeholder. But you really do need to check in every day to kind of see how this thing is going to play.
Yeah, and there are days it's going to play much longer than that and maybe a little bit shorter than that.
Yeah, and one of the other things about this course, and the reason we say tune in, is going to be visually stunning. This is a top 10 golf course in the world. And this is, you know, year after year voted one of the top 10 golf courses in the world. So you are going to see the elevation change. This is one of the things, Kelly, like we didn't even have. I didn't even have this information when we did yesterday. But like some of the guys now that are on site have been able to walk the course a couple of different times now. And listen, the way TV and look, I think they've come miles with the way that they broadcast golf. But it's still tough to kind of really showcase what these courses are all about from elevation changes and little undulations and how there might be slopes and things. Whatever, people are saying that these are so pronounced, and you're even seeing this on, if you're watching at home right now, in these flyovers, that you're going to be able to tell on television. Like you're going to be able to see what these guys are kind of dealing with, where a lot of times you just have to trust the announcers and be like, well, he's really on an upslope or downslope here, or blah, blah, blah. And if you hit it out there, you might do this. Like, they are saying that these are so incredibly pronounced. You're going to be able to tell what these guys are going up against here, which I think is going to make this course even more visually stunning and more visually appealing as we go into coverage starting tomorrow.
Yeah, we've heard a couple people talk about, hey, it kind of feels like more of a Open Championship setup than a U.S. Open setup because of exactly what you're talking about. There's going to be so many lies, whether these guys are in the fairway or not, where you're playing off of, some unbalanced...
Say it.
Unbalanced
Say
ground.
It. And Say it.
What?
Say
the,
it.
The Baranka?
Baranka!
The Baranka? I wasn't even going there.
Say it, buddy.
But even if you're sitting in the fairway, like this is what, it's been really interesting hearing some of the players talk about if hitting in the right spot of the fairway, because you've got a fairway sloping like this, and then you got to hit into a green. So I think that stuff's been really interesting to hear. Look, it's wider fairways, but you got to hit it in a very specific part if you're going to have a chance at actually getting up on the green and having your ball stay there. So I'm with you. I think that stuff's going to be really, really interesting to watch as the tournament goes on.
One thing you're going to see, there is no water on this course. We just mentioned kind of jokingly the Barrancas. That is going to be one of the more penal areas. There is going to be the rough there, and we'll talk about the rough in just a second. But if you're not aware, you're going to hear it about 1,000 times the word. It is basically a dried up stream, so whatever. It's going, and the more interesting thing about it is depending on where it sits on the course. It runs through the whole course, but where it sits on the course can actually affect the lie that these guys are going to get, which is another thing that makes this just fascinating to me. Because of the nature of just where there might be a little bit of water runoff, where it might get more sun than other, like all of this, it could be hard as concrete. It could be a little bit softer to where it's more like playing out of kind of a stiff sand trap. There could be actual vegetation down there. You could be playing off of some sort of weird bush type thing, or it could actually be a bush that has grown up that you have to try to play out of or play around or chip backwards or whatever it might be. So we might get four different looks from inside kind of the same thing that is running throughout the course. It's going to be really, really cool. They're an interesting setup here at the LACC as well. 5 par threes and 3 par fives. So even though it's a par 70, and that's not typically the setup here, that's what we're getting here is 5 par threes and 3 par fives, 10 par fours. So keep that in mind as well. The rough that I was talking about, not going to be what you're typically used to seeing at a U.S. Open. It is the whole, you've seen it a million times, we're showing it. Like everyone likes to go out to the golf course and drop the ball for a U.S. Open. That being said, you can see these balls, and it's because the rough's only going to be about 3.5 inches. That said, it is the first time that we have Bermuda rough at a U.S. Open since 2005. So nearly 20 years since we have had Bermuda rough. And if you talk to professional golfers, they really, really hate Bermuda rough. And the reason being is because it makes that shot out of there even more dicey, because the way that that grass grips onto not only the ball, but your club face as well, it can come out several different ways. And we've seen guys be able to kind of bomb and gouge U.S. Open courses in the past. And it's because they figured out how to play out of the majority of these different types of grass when it comes to the rough situation. And so if you can muscle it out of there, they have a decent idea how far the ball is going to fly, the trajectory that's going to come out of there, et cetera, et cetera. There's going to be a lot of trickiness here this week, Kelly, with this Bermuda rough. And, you know, what we've here, you can get a couple of blades stuck between your club and the ball, and that thing might shoot either straight up in the air. It might come out like a rocket. It might go 10 yards further or 10 yards shorter than you think. I think that we're going to see a premium on accuracy this week, and we're going to see some of these guys that maybe, like, I'm not necessarily say win the tournament, but be in the mix, certainly in the top 20-ish, top 10 of the leaderboard, that you don't normally see at tournaments like this, just because they're fairway finding. Yeah. They might not be out there 330, 340. It might only be 290, but they're consistently within the fairway and giving themselves a really good look from a second shot perspective.
Hitting fairways and greens. Yeah, you're right, because you can get in a lot of trouble here. Even that, you know, like that rough, too, we're not talking just off the fairway. That's right. That's all around the greens, too.
Yes. I've heard
a lot of players talking about, you know, hey, it's a lot better situation to end up in a bunker around this green than it is to end up in that rough. One I did catch yesterday, Matt, was, I thought it was really cool, Golf Channel was doing the kind of walk along with Wagner Johnson, kind of walk around with some of the players doing practice rounds. One guy I took note of this when he said it, and it's a guy I know you bet, Jordan Spieth. Talking about, hey, yes, this is different from what you see in a lot of these majors, a lot of the U.S. Opens, like you talked about. He said it's a type of grass, though, that he felt more familiar with and from some of the stuff that he sees more down in Texas, what he played growing up, both in Texas and along the South. So I don't know. I didn't read into it heavily, like I'm giving those players a massive advantage, but I at least thought it was an interesting note from somebody out there.
Absolutely. It's a great note, because the other thing that's going to be super interesting about this, which is why, I mean, I'm serious. I'm as excited about this tournament as I've been for any tournament in several years. The par threes are going to play everywhere from about 290 all the way to, in theory, under 100 yards. Yeah. And so you're going to see one of the longest par threes you're ever going to see and one of the shortest par threes you're ever going to see throughout the course of this tournament as well. And if you talk to a couple of people, Matt Fitzpatrick in specific was talking about how it's just as intimidating to stand in the tee box of the 280-yard par three as it is the 85-yard par three, because you never play an 85-yard par three, ever. Like, you're standing there, and you feel like this should be your second shot or your third shot on a par five or something, and instead this is your tee shot, and you just find yourself second-guessing, kind of going, what am I doing? Like, am I doing something different? Like, how do I even play this? Because you just never, ever, ever play an 85-yard par three. So I'm fascinated by that as well.
I think it's one of the more interesting tournaments this was another one they were talking to Spieth about, of like, have you decided what's going to be in your bag yet, right? Like, that's not – I don't know how many tournaments guys go into having to make those calls basically a day or two before the tournament. And Spieth was talking, no, like, I'm still deciding between about three different clubs because of what you're talking about with the par threes, the rough around the fairways, and around the greens.
Yeah, it's going to be – it really will. I think we're going to see – what guys are hitting from different distances vary incredibly throughout the course of the week. We continue on with our picks for the U.S. Open on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a smarter sports bettor with a VSiN Pro subscription for a limited time. Just $9.99 to get full access to everything we do. You're going to get the Pro Picks email that's sent to you every single day. You get premium analysis from all the handicappers and industry experts, 24/7 video access, and you get the tools over on the website as well. Don't waste any time. It's going to go away, I promise you. The $9.99 is not happening very long, Kelly. You got to get in there. VSiN.com/subscribe to take advantage of that offer. Trust me, it is for a limited time, so you're going to want to get in there and take advantage of that. Don't let it go up on you. $11.99, whatever it might be.
I just got the betting insights report from BetMGM here.
All right.
Someone couldn't hold back. They had to drop 5,000 on the JT at 50-1.
I mean, yeah,
I get it.
I was going to say, I mean, I get it. It's, look, do I think that the odds for the state of his game are probably appropriate? Probably.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, the thing is Justin Thomas, we've seen before where he's had little leaks in his game and then he has figured it out and then he's come out and played like Justin Thomas yet again. I don't know if that's going to be this week or not, but we have seen where this guy is like just off a little bit on something and he goes and he grinds and he figures it out and then he comes out and he actually looks like one of the world's best golfers yet again. I mean, you want to, that's when you want to be holding the 50-1 ticket on Justin Thomas, when he's figured things out. But the problem is, Kelly, and as we look at the odds board, he has to get by a little guy named Scottie Scheffler and another guy like, you know, John Rahm, Brooks Koepka, all of those dudes coming through from Kyle Porter, who does great work over at CBS just now. Scottie Scheffler's tee to green rankings in the last eight tournaments that he has played. Bay Hill, he was second, Players, he was first. Masters, he was second. Heritage, he was fifth. The Byron Nelson, he was second. The PGA, he was first. Colonial, he was first. And the Memorial, he was first. Tee to green, he won one of those tournaments.
It's wild. It's
one of those tournaments because the putter has failed Scotty Scheffler something fierce. He is still your betting favorite. And taking some money this morning, even from when this graphic was made, it says 650 on your screen. He's down to 6-1 right now. And if you take a look, John Rahm at 9, Koepka at 12. Rory has drifted to 16 now at the same level as Patrick Cantlay, who is at 16. Xander Schauffele at 18. Victor Hovland at 18. The only person taking some money in this kind of middle range that has moved a little bit is Tyrrell Hatton, who was sitting 35 at the very beginning of the week, had moved to 30, is down to 28 now for Tyrrell Hatton. Tyrrell Hatton did get added to my card as a placement market bet, not as an outright market bet, but do love everything that you see with Tyrrell Hatton this week coming into this thing. So, Kelly, let's just start at the top of the odds board because this is where people are going to scratch their head because they're going to see both of our cards and they're going to see that we don't have Scheffler, we don't have Rahm, we don't have Koepka. Wes does have Rory, but that's kind of where the cards start from the short aspect of everything. Mm-hmm. Listen, if the odds on Scheffler were a little bit longer, I would probably just suck it up and play him. Rahm, when it had gotten to 12, you and I probably should have pulled the trigger. We didn't. Now it gets back to 9 where it's, much more appropriate. And Brooks, I think, listen, as good as he's played in the first two majors, I do think that this is a little short on him. I would prefer to see him more in that 15 range. So for me, the top three guys, if you're in a state that gets a bet boost of any sort, if you get any of these things where you can add on odds, if you're getting Scotty Scheffler at 10-1, I would play Scotty Scheffler at 10-1 all day, every day, feel great about it. It's just tough at 6-1 for us in the way that we bet because we're betting golf every single week to make any money, right? I mean, you want to play him top 5? I'm not going to argue. You want to play him top 10? If you want to lay the minus 150 to play top 10, Scotty Scheffler seems like a walking top 10 at this point. I'm not going to argue or talk you off any of those points. It's just tough for us to make money with the way that we bet golf, betting these shorties.
Yeah, I mean, those two, I'll definitely be looking, him and Rahm, I'll definitely be looking to get in live on if an opportunity presents itself. I kind of, structured my outright card that way, hoping for a chance. I think the other part of it, Matt, where, we talked very similarly about these two and Rory at the beginning of the year. The other major different factor now is the Brooks Koepka factor. Mm-hmm. I mean, I struggled with that at the PGA when I was designing my outright card, where I'm like, look, I think Brooks showed something at the Masters. I think you need to take him a little bit more seriously here. And he's in that mix for me. I hear what you're saying. Maybe the odds are a little too short, but I think he still belongs right in that mid to low teen range. Like, I'm going to show him his due respect for what this guy does on majors and how he's looked recently. So you're kind of talking about these top, 2, 3, 4 guys now. And I think it's really tough to pick one of those guys at these short of odds.
Yeah, I'm with you. And listen, Brooks deserves certainly to be one of the favorites. I just would prefer to see him more in that range of some of these guys that we do at least have a little bit more of a sample size from. Yeah. But that's just me personally. I'm not going to talk anyone off the ledge either if you want to bet Brooks Koepka. And honestly, by the way, just as an aside here, if you're playing one and done, you only get 4 opportunities to play live guys over the course of the season as it is anyway. So if you have not played Brooks yet or even a Dustin Johnson or something, like, it's just good game theory to play one of those guys so long as you think that they're going to show, right? I mean, as long as you think they're going to play well, I can't imagine what you've seen from Brooks Koepka so far that you would think that he isn't going to show and play well. So you want to play them, hold on to the PGA guys that you can use any of these other weeks, right? I mean, next week, by the way, is an elevated event at the Travelers. And so you would want to, it's better to have that guy in your pocket, for something like that. So just a little aside, if you're playing some other forms of gambling, 156 players are going to tee it up for this tournament. But I would like to point out that even though it is a full field event, it is still a qualifier event. And so about 25 to 30 of these dudes are, don't get me wrong, good players. You have to be good to qualify to play in this tournament. But as far as actually competing and winning and maybe even making the cut at this point, it's probably drawn dead for most of these guys. Look, 2 or 3 of them are going to make the cut, but the majority of these guys are not. And so I viewed this field, Kelly, more as like one of those invitational type tournaments where it is top 60 in ties that move on. So it's not like your typical event where a ton of people are making the cut here. You know, it is 60 in ties that are going. That being said, I viewed the field more in that like 130-ish player, 125-ish player range. And so that makes sense to me there as well.
Oh, I hear you. That, I think you got to take that into account for every major that you're talking about. There's, you know, we got the old guys either at the PGA or the PGA or the Masters, right? You got to cross off the list. So it does. I think you got to keep that in mind when you're, especially if you're looking at odds to make miss the cut. I know you ended up playing a couple of those.
Yeah. So starting with the outright card, Xander Schauffele is the shortest guy that I played. 19-1 is what I got him at. Still available out there at other numbers. So as we always say, do shop around and make sure that you're getting the best of all of this. But Xander is a guy that doesn't really pop in any single statistical category, but he's just very high in all of them. Mm-hmm. He's not like number one in anything, but he's in the top six or seven in just about every single thing. And you know, maybe this week is when it all comes together. We see every single year there is a first-time major winner. We haven't had that so far this year, but I do believe that Xander Schauffele is going to win a major at some point, and his game is just too strong all around. Finished inside the top seven in every single version of the model that I ran, and so Xander Schauffele does come in right there. Jordan Spieth, maybe my favorite bet on the card. By the way, you can get Jordan Spieth for longer than I got him right now. There's a 30 at DraftKings still. So on Jordan Spieth. And just to let you know, there is some kind of argument here in the market on Jordan Spieth because he's as low as 22 out there as well. So there's a big difference between him at 30 over at DraftKings. Jordan Spieth, you said a little bit in the last segment about Jordan. What I really liked about him, too, whenever I looked at his driving numbers, he's actually driving it straight, so he's found that part of his game. The thing that he is not doing well right now is the thing that he's actually known for. His around the green has been a little spotty, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, that's really kind of been the thing that's been his bugaboo. And I'll tell you, man, if he can find that, it could be very, very interesting here for Jordan Spieth. He's long enough. He hits the long irons well enough. And certainly, you know, yes, there's a handful of guys that are good putters. There's a handful of guys that are bad putters, and everyone else kind of just falls somewhere in between. The putter can get hot, and he could go on and get it done. So really like Jordan Spieth. Max Homa is a bet that I made several weeks ago. I think if we had cash out option, I might cash it out. Like, I think, you know, I don't love it anymore. Would it shock me if Max has been grinding and has figured something out and understands why he hasn't been playing as well lately? Now, Kelly, that wouldn't shock me at all. And if we might find him in contention, right? But yeah. I think when we're talking about form, and listen, I wanted guys in form. I wanted guys that, you know, check certain boxes and things like that. And Max here of late doesn't really check a ton of the boxes. Even though his finishes haven't been terrible, he just is not in – he's not inside the top 20, really, in a bunch of these things that we're looking at.
Look, we bet him a lot. It was a few months ago. His game has been different over the past couple months.
And, listen, we'll talk the rest of our cards here a little bit later. Check back in a couple of segments. We'll get through Kelly's card. We'll get through the rest of my card as well, because there's, you know, a couple of different guys that I think we need to give some context to. Some other guys that maybe, you know, listen, you're going to see it on my card and go like, oh, this guy's just betting bombs. Really, it's just a sprinkle on the outright from that aspect. And I'm going to be playing really strong in the placement market because I think that's where they really present a ton of value, is more in the placement market side of things than anything else. But when we come back, we're going to talk to Will Hill. Maybe he has some golf bets as well. Stick around, a numbers game here on a Wednesday.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Use the BetMGM bonus bet to make your next wager on any game in any sport. To receive your bonus bets, and we log into BetMGM account every Saturday and Wednesday between May 13th and June 21st to bet on any game of your choice. Then add any type of bet up to your bet slip and activate your bonus bet. There's no deposit or additional wager required. This bonus bet's on the house. BetMGM, GameSense reminds you to gamble responsibly, and they do have resources to help you make good choices. Promotion may differ per customer, 21 or years of age or older to wager. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Promotional offer not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Washington, D.C. If you have a gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER. or please call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY in New York, or text HOPE-NY in New York, 800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona, 522-4700 in Kansas, 800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. Bets off in Iowa, and 270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan, in partnership with Kansas Cross Casino and Hotel. Kelly, we are sitting here. We had a little off the I'm interested in this. We might have to bring this to an episode of Long Shots or something like that, because, you know, between on the break, we were sitting here talking about, listen, if we had to rank golfers, not from their skill on the course, but who might win in a bar fight, there is there could be some interesting conversations to be had, because, you know,
Tyrrell Hatton, pound for pound,
a lot of these guys probably grew up in a situation in which they did not have to bar fight basically ever. They probably had like a designated bar fighter next to them. Like, they probably had a friend that, like, they just paid to bar fight for them when need be. But Tyrrell Hatton seems like he would, like, bite your nose off, like,
yes,
if it came down to it. Like,
yes,
you know,
he does.
It's like, if he was losing and you were in some sort of scrum, he would not think twice about just biting your nose right off and just spitting it right back in your face, and then you're freaking out.
The past 2 minutes, all I've been doing is going over the tee times for the U.S. Open. I'm trying to find anybody else I would pick in a fight over him. I don't really know if I'm coming up with anybody, man.
All right, well, I mean, maybe Will Hill has someone off the top of his head that he can think of that he might take in a bar fight against Tyrrell Hatton. Now, join us here on the program. It is Will Hill. How you doing, buddy?
I'm gonna go with Vijay Singh.
Oh, all right. All right. I mean, listen.
Juicing up on the deer antlers.
Listen, yeah. I mean, you never knew. You don't know his situation growing up, though. That's the other thing. Like, these guys from other countries and stuff, like, they might have seen some stuff. They might have seen some stuff along the way.
Plus, right, you're probably getting a good number on him, some longer odds. So I'll go, Vijay Singh with a little bit of a sleeper pick of Vijay.
So, well, I mean, listen, we've crowned two champions here the last two nights. And just some your overall thoughts on the season. I mean, it seems like we're kind of playing out here where the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, best team for the majority of the year. We get the Nuggets now winning the NBA championship, best team for the majority of the year. Now, there were a little bit of up and downs for VGK, but, like, certainly in the conversation here as one of the best teams throughout the course of the year. It seems like we're kind of playing some chalk here in Major League Sports.
Yeah, although, I mean, you could make the case, though, that the regular season has never meant less when you look at the Bucks in the season they had in the NBA, the Dodgers the season they had in baseball, the Bruins. So, you know, there's not a direct correlation between the regular season and the playoffs. But looking forward, and look, there's a money management aspect to this, but to me, the Nuggets at +475, like, from a betting standpoint, I always do this with the Chiefs. Once the Super Bowl ends, you just sort of bet it, you put it in your pocket, you forget you have it, and you're happy, you know, a year or so later that you bet the number, just because you're never going to get a better number. To me, Denver at +475, if you look around the West, like, I don't know what's going to happen in the East. There's so many things that can happen with trades and injuries, but, you know, there's just not a team in the West that I think is going to really be close to being favored against them. When you look at Memphis and all the issues they have, LeBron and AD are a year older. Golden State might have missed their window. You just go down the line, the Clippers, I think we're all over that. So I think Denver at +475, I never like to pick the team that just won it, but I think Denver's got a really good chance here to get back to an NBA Finals and possibly repeat, which we haven't seen in some time now.
Before we get to what you're looking at in Major League Baseball today, let's keep on with some of the golf talk here. We head into the U.S. Open, and very interesting setup over here. We think that this could play a little bit different than typical U.S. Opens. Any players that you are really on here as we head into tomorrow's tee off?
Too many, as usual. You go down the rabbit hole, who could win, and you end up, you know, you see this number here, that number there, and you end up sometimes with too many bets and more bets than you want. But the guy you were just mentioning to me, Tyrrell Hatton, in the 30-1 range, when you just look at the ball striking, the consistency, every finish for his top 15, top 20, he's just so consistent. He's always sniffing around the leaderboard. So that's a guy I think can certainly win at 30-1. If you're looking for a longer shot, I thought Thigala at 100-1. I think he's 120-1 at Circa. You know, there's going to be the narrative from, you know, the fact that he's from Pepperdine. He's played well in California. I think he's got like four top 15 finishes in California in his career. He finished ninth at the Masters. He's got a bunch of top 10s this year. So Thigala to me at 120-1 is interesting. And I haven't bet Matsuyama yet, but that's another guy you start to look at him in the putter. If the putter can just get going, you know, his finishes have been really consistent. He's in good recent form too. So those are guys that I think are interesting at those prices. I mentioned Scheffler the other day, 18-1 for first round leader, just because, like, I don't want to bet 6-1, 7-1 to win an outright, but If he putts, just his numbers tee to green just jump off the page to you. His numbers at majors jump off the page to you. So I'd prefer to play first round leader. I don't have much of an appetite for 6-1, 7-1, that kind of thing. But he's certainly favored for a reason here.
Find Will over on the Twitter machine at not the Will Hill. Let's go over to the Diamond now, Yankees and the Mets. Gerrit Cole, Justin Verlander. This is 110 on either side. 7.5 is your total, and you are looking at that total.
I'm going to go under. I've been playing Yankees team total under a lot. Got burned with it last night as they scored a bunch of runs against Scherzer, who, he was starting to get on track, but that was a poor performance. So give the Yankees credit. But you just look at the Yankees lineup without Judge, the Mets lineup without Alonso. I'm just going to take a chance here in the Houston Astros reunion with Justin Verlander against Gerrit Cole, that these pitchers can pitch pretty well here against these neutered lineups. The Yankee lineup last night, I mean, this is the New York Yankees. Their outfield was Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, Jake Bowers, and I'm trying to think of the third guy. I think it was Willie Calhoun. I mean, it's not a typical major league, you know, big-time outfield. So I think under here is a good bet, even though it was a high-scoring game last night.
8:10 Eastern, 5:10 Pacific. We've got the Reds and the Royals. That is Ben Lively on the hill for the Reds, Daniel Lynch for the Royals. -115 on the Reds, -105 on the Royals. 9.5 is the total. What are you looking at here?
I'm going to take the Reds. This Reds team is fun. They're feisty. They are sneaking back into the NL Central race here, which it's hard to believe. And it's hard to believe the team they're chasing is now the Pirates, as the Brewers have lost a bunch of bad games in a row, got swept by the A's. So to me, the Reds are undervalued here. I like this team. And, you know, for all the grief the A's have taken, the A's no longer have the worst record in baseball. The Royals are 269 in terms of the winning percentage. The A's are 275. The Royals have really flown under the radar in terms of how bad they've been, just because Oakland has been so bad until the last week or so, where basically they've turned into the 27 Yankees over the past 7 days. But I'm going to take the Reds here. I think this is just a much better team, and they are on the rise. Two teams going in different directions. So give me Cincy here at -110 or so.
9:40 Eastern, we got the Marlins and the Mariners. Yuri Perez and Luis Castillo in this one. The Mariners are big -190 home favorites with Castillo on the hill. If you want to back the rookie Perez and the Marlins, +160 on the road, just a flat 7 as the total here. What are you looking at from this one?
Probably just going to go under 3.5 in the first 5 and avoid the bullpens. Castillo's been dominant, really limits hard contact, limits walks, not a lot of base runners, a ton of strikeouts. So I've always been a fan of his. He's got a sub-1 whip now. He's just got dominant stuff. And this kid Perez, he's young for the Marlins. He's only 20. He's going to be one of the better pitchers in baseball. His stuff is flat out nasty. He's been really good too. So to me, this is like 1-1 after 5, 2-1 after 5, that kind of a game here. So I will go under first 5 here, Marlins in the Mariners.
Well, we got about a minute, and just looking at the West in the NL West right now, Arizona up 3 games on the Dodgers, and actually in the third place is not the Padres, it's the Giants, and then the Padres sitting there in fourth. When it's all said and done, look, nearly 100 games to play. So when it's all said and done, do the Dodgers go ahead and take this thing? Are we going to see some sort of resurgence from the Padres? Do the Diamondbacks end up faltering? How do you see this all shaking out?
You know, I'd probably just pick the Dodgers out of default. I think the Padres have probably dug themselves too big of a hole. There is too many good baseball players on that team to play this poorly. They had a win last night, so maybe you're just waiting at some point for them to win, you know, 11 out of 13, 12 out of 15, and just go on a run. The Dodgers, you have a lot of concerns about that pitching, but I as much as I like Arizona, I've been betting them a lot. I think they're a fun team. I don't trust Arizona to hold on. So I think Arizona will get in the playoffs. Life on the line, I'd probably still pick the Dodgers to win the division, even though it's not a vintage Dodger pitching staff by any stretch. They're going to have to add a pitcher here at the deadline.
Does great work for us here at VSiN. Find him over on the Twitter machine at not the Will Hill. He is, in fact, Will Hill. Thanks for the time today, buddy. Appreciate it.
Maddie, appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on, guys. See you.
Keller, are we going to make bad decisions? Are we just going to get on a flight this evening and head over to L.A.? Are we going to make bad decisions?
I don't think that's happening.
Are we just going to?
I wish, man.
Are we going to do that? Road trip?
JVT might be surprised here tomorrow morning.
Whatever. I mean, listen, I'm all for making some bad decisions if we've got to do that. So, guys, stick around. We're going to talk some NFL contract incentives. Does that help you from a prop standpoint? We'll find out.